And that's what I want to get to this morning. I'm going to talk about this morning, greatness is living what you believe. I'm talking about greatness this morning. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're great, and I'm talking about in the realm of Christianity, you will live what you believe. You will live what the Word of God says. There won't be no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Let us stand. 2 Timothy, the second chapter, beginning with the 20th verse. But in a great house, and I want you to underline that whenever you get set down, great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some of honor, some to honor, and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him for his will. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come with thanksgiving in my heart. I come thanking you, Father, for your mercy. I come thanking you, Father, for your greatness that you bestow upon each and every one of us, Lord. I love you for what you do for us, Lord. I pray, Father, that you would be with the church here this morning. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that you would give the message, Lord. I pray, Father, hearts would be receptive. And, Father, we will give you the praise for it all, for that's all that we can do is give you the praise. In Jesus' name we ask, and amen. And you may be seated. I thank you. Again, like I said in the first part of that, I'd like for you to underline that, but in a great house. Lord willing, this morning, I would like to speak to you about greatness and courage this morning. You know, how many of you have ever heard the story of the young boy in the backyard playing baseball? Have you ever heard that story before? He was out there by himself. But what he was doing, he was throwing the baseball in the air, and he would try to hit it. And he said, and as he did it, threw it in the air, he said, I am the greatest hitter. I'm the greatest hitter in the world. And the first ball went up, and he struck, and he missed it. He said the same thing the second time, and he struck, and he missed it. He did it the third time. He threw it up in the air, and he said, I'm the greatest hitter in the world. And he swung, and he missed. And he struck out. Do you know what he did? He hung his head for a minute, and he said, I'm the greatest pitcher in the world. You see what I'm saying? Brothers and sisters, greatness should belong to Christians. Can I tell you that this morning? Greatness is living what you believe. Greatness is Christianity. And I want to talk to you about that. I want us to look through the prism of Christianity this morning at greatness. I want us to look at that this morning and what it means. And what it means to be great. Can I say something to you here this morning? And I want you to participate with me this morning in that. How many of you in here want to be great? Raise your hand with me. Everybody in this church should raise their hand if they're a Christian this morning. Amen. That's not being egotistical, because I want to tell you something. If you're living for the one that died on that cross, you should want to be great this morning. Every one of us should want to be great. And what greatness is, I want to talk a little bit about what it takes to be great and what it is not, what is not greatness. Because Paul talks about a great house. That's what he's talked about right there whenever I read scriptures this morning. And there are vessels of honor and there are vessels of dishonor in every house. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about churches is what he's talking about right there, by the way. That's what he's trying to say. There are vessels of honor and dishonor in every great house. Because Paul talks about a great house, vessels that are great and some that are not so great. See, just being in a great house doesn't make you great. Do you understand that? Just because the church name above the church door just because you're there, just because you're a member of that church, doesn't make you great. It's accepting Jesus Christ into your heart. It's knowing the one that can make you great that makes us great. It's one thing to have great parents. And thank God if you've got great parents. Dalton, thank the Lord for great parents. Thank the Lord for great parents if you had them. But that does not make you great. You have to accept Jesus Christ. You have to know Him as your Savior to be great as well. It isn't because you're bought into it because your parents are Christians. No. You have to be great. It's one thing. It's one thing to work for, have a great job and to work for a great company. I mean, in a worldly sense, it is. But can I tell you something? Just because you're an employee of that company doesn't make you a great employee. Amen? It doesn't. That's just the way it is. Just because you're a part of a great church family does not make you great. Amen? It doesn't hurt, but it doesn't make you great. You see, either you're adding to the greatness of that church, of that company, of that family. You're either adding to the greatness of that or you're diminishing it. Amen. I'm just here to tell you this morning. Listen, brothers and sisters, you know me as a preacher. I try to be as honest as I can be. I'm not pointing my finger towards no one. I'm just letting you know what God has given me about this. The scripture is saying this morning, it's possible to be in a great house and you not be great. That's what it's saying. That's what it's saying. You're not gold, you're not silver, you're not even brass. It says that you're either dirt, you're clay, you're wood, you're hay, you're stubble. Is what it's saying. If you're here in this church this morning, and you are not adding to the greatness that Jesus Christ has given to each and every one of us, can I tell you something this morning? You're hay, wood, and stubble. That's what it's saying. If you're not adding to it, you know, just because you're part of something great doesn't mean that you are great. It's because we have to step out. We have to get out. There are some who would say we shouldn't look at people on levels of greatness. Oh, really? Jesus did? Oh, yeah. I like what Sean said earlier. Being great doesn't mean you're perfect. David was a man after God's own heart. That's pretty great to me. How about you? And we know what David did, right? Look at John the Baptist. Jesus said he was the greatest. Among those born of men, he said he was the greatest. That's what Jesus said. That's not me. That's what he said. Why did he say that? And what did John the Baptist do? There's a time John the Baptist doubted. He doubted who Jesus was. So just because you're not perfect here this morning doesn't mean that you cannot be great. There's not a one of us that are perfect. And he said to John, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding. He that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Isn't that something? Isn't that awesome? In Matthew 18:1, the disciples asked this question of Jesus. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? They asked Jesus this. And Jesus said this, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Let me tell you something. Underline the word convert, because I want you to understand something. There's a difference between repentance and conversion. Did you know that? Repentance happens first. Then the conversion starts. Do you know what conversion is? Conversion is a remodeling process. That's what it is. Conversion is the remodeling process that happens. Listen, having been adapted to be suitable for a new purpose. That's what conversion means. The remodeling starts the moment that we get saved. And brothers and sisters, can I say something to you here this morning? Greatness happens and it starts in our life the moment that we get saved. The greatness should start and we should be wanting to and striving for that in our lives. You see, repentance takes place first. In Acts 3:19, listen to this. This is important. Repent ye therefore and be converted. You repent. And then after the repentance takes place, listen, brothers, the conversion starts. Sean, it didn't happen to me the first day I got saved. It's not going to happen to everyone in here the first day you get saved. Conversion takes time. But brother, there's no place where it stops. It keeps going and going and going till the day that we die. Conversion keeps going. You see, repentance takes place first. We've got to understand that. After you are saved through the working of the Holy Ghost, praise God, it takes and shows, guides and directs and shows us. God works on you to mold you, to make you what you ought to be. The old hymn pill song used to say that, he's still working on me. And he is, he's still working on me. And I tell you, if you talk to anybody in here that's been a Christian for any length of time, they'll tell you the same thing. He's still working on them as well. It takes a lifetime of work on each of us. It really does. I know that. I don't look in here and can I tell you this? And this is nothing on you because I'm the same way. I look upon a bunch of imperfect people here this morning. And you're saying, well, Dave, you don't know me. I do know this. We're all born into sin. Every one of us. There's not a one of us in here perfect. Not a one of us. We're all imperfect. And listen to me, we will be that way until we get to home one of these days. The trouble is, when we don't learn the lessons God is trying to give us, is what hurts us. That's what hurts, is whenever we don't try to learn that. That's what keeps us from living the greatness that God has for us, is when we don't learn the lessons. The trouble, let's give you this morning, listen to me. I think greatness, it's when God's serving God, things that we say no to it sometimes. It's what we happen. I pray now. Let me ask you again. And I'm going to ask you this. How many of you here want to be great this morning? Come on, raise your hands with me this morning. I know you do. I know that's what's needed in all of our lives. We need that. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The same is the greatest as the kingdom of heaven, as a little child. How many of you, listen, folks, first off, let me say what greatness is not. I wrote down a little bit of things what I think greatness is not. And I kind of went across this a little bit ago. Greatness is not inherited. Did you know that? Patty didn't give it to Julie. I didn't give it to Stephanie. It's not inherited like that. It's not. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in this body according to what he has done, whether it be good or bad. We all appear before the judgment seat of Christ someday. I will not stand there for Josh, Levi, Stephanie, Brian. I'll not stand there for Tink one day. I stand there on my own accord, and you will do the same thing one day. You can be born with every advantage in this life. I can tell you, you can be born with a silver spoon in your mouth and still not achieve greatness. Do you understand? Not greatness in the eyes of what through the prism of Christianity. You will not, unless you were born again, unless you were saved. You can be born without anything and you can still achieve greatness. But let me add something else to that scope. You could be born without anything and still stay down there too as well. Because you don't want to pull yourself up. You don't want to let the Lord lift and guide and direct. So it goes all different directions, but greatness can be that way. Listen, you can be born with every advantage. Your greatness is not determined on your privilege. It's not. It's not how privileged you are here this morning that determines your greatness in serving the Lord. Your greatness is not determined. You can be born into a family where your parents were awful, where they were terrible, and you can still achieve greatness for Jesus Christ this morning. Am I right? I've seen it. I've seen people whose parents, whose mother and dads were terrible. And I'm not judging, but it's their fruits, you'll know them. And those kids ended up being some of the best people for the Lord that you would ever want to see. Because you know why? God, they let God use them. They loved it because whatever you may say. Nothing, greatness is not inherited into you. Your greatness should never be tied to your circumstances. Should never be tied to your circumstances whatsoever. Greatness is not how much money you make or how much money you don't make. Can you agree with me on this? There's a lot of wealthy people in the world today that are neither good or great. Amen? There's a lot of people like that today. That's why the Bible says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. So money doesn't determine how great you are. Your greatness is not based on that. Greatness is not based on how talented you are. There are many folks that are good at doing but not good at being. Amen? There's a lot of them out there. What was it? I see some of these pop stars that have 60-some million followers on these sites, on Twitter and on Facebook. They have millions and millions and millions of followers. But I can tell you honestly this morning, there's a lot of them that are neither good nor great. They're not. Praise God, so it doesn't make a difference how talented you are. They're great at doing some things, but not great at being somebody. I don't know about you, but I want to be both as a Christian. I want to be a great grandfather. I want to be a great father. I want to be a great pastor. I want to be a great co-worker. And you say, well, Dave, that's an awful lot. Listen to me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If I try to do this stuff on my own, it will never happen. And if you try to do it on your own, it will not happen. But I want to encourage you this morning to be a great grandfather or grandmother. I want you to encourage you this morning to be a great father and a great mother. I want to encourage you this morning to be a great co-worker. I want to encourage you this morning to be a great church member this morning. Because Jesus Christ dying on the cross has afforded us that we could be that way. I want to be all those things. But I want to be all those things through Jesus Christ. There's a big difference between doing something great and being great. Amen? There's a big difference between it. Greatness is not being popular. We know that. You know, it says over in Luke 9:25, for what is a man's advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself and be cast away? It's not how many Twitter followers you have. It's not how many people that follow you on Facebook. That doesn't make you great. How many people on Instagram follow you? I don't know. But I'm here to tell you this morning, that is not greatness. That is not. Greatness is not braggadocio. It is not. You don't stand up and pound your chest about how great you are. You don't do that. That's not what it's about. Romans says, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. That right there should put everybody into perspective here this morning. Listen, there is nothing. I am nothing without Jesus Christ. Nothing. And if you are here this morning, you are nothing without Jesus Christ as well. You may think that you are, but your greatness is not always immediate. We know that as well. It doesn't come just like that. And for God, which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. As I said earlier, we are a work in progress. Absolutely, we are a work in progress. Become a great Christian. You don't do that the moment you're saved. You don't do that. No one in this church knew everything they needed to know the moment that they got saved. I learned stuff today in teaching. I learned stuff, and Lord willing, I hope to be able to learn stuff the more I go and the older I get. I hope and pray that I learn more and more and more for what God has for me. You stumble, you listen, have I ever stumbled and failed? Absolutely. Absolutely. Will I ever do it in the future? Absolutely. Can I tell you something? You're going to stumble and fall sometimes too. I'm just going to be honest with you. There are going to be times you're going to be looking at yourself, what in the world did I do? And you know what you've got to do? You've got to pick yourself up by the bootstraps. And you've got to set yourself back on that path. And you've got to be able to talk to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry, and let's move on from this thing. Because greatness knows, whenever greatness is there, brothers, I'm here to tell you, you're going to fail sometimes. Why do you suppose Paul told Timothy over in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth? I don't think Paul told Timothy that because Timothy had everything the moment he got saved. Do you? We need to study to show ourselves approved. It comes with time. It comes with sacrifice. We live in a microwave society. I've said that here before. We do. Everything's instant. We want it right now. Everything's right at the tip of our fingertips. The moment that we want it now. Brothers, being a great Christian does not work that way. Like what Sean said today too, being great in a great marriage does not work that way either. It takes time and it takes patience and it takes work. Are you willing to do that? Because it takes time. Having a great job and being a great employee at a job takes time because you need to learn what you are into. Greatness will come during hardships. Can I tell you this? This is something that the Lord showed me this. I've seen a lot of people in this church and other churches I've been in. If you want to see greatness come out, look at them going through the hard times. That's when greatness comes out. That's when you know what greatness is about. It's when they've gone through the hard times. That's what you know. Tell us to. I'm reminded of the story. There was a millionaire who was down in Texas, and he was having a barbecue down in Texas. And he invited a bunch of his friends to come. And anyway, when he got there, there was this pool, Olympic-sized swimming pool there. And the Olympic-sized swimming pool had a bunch of alligators in it. I mean, a bunch of them. And the had fence around it and stuff like that. And so they walk up to it and go in, and the guy's asking, "What's that there for?" He said, "Well," and the millionaire said, I'm a real fan of courage. He said, "If anybody can jump in that pool and swim across there," he said, I'll give them anything they want." And all the guys are standing there, and all of them start turning around. And all at once he hears the water, somebody jumps in the pool. And he turns around, and there's this boy. He said he's swimming as fast as he can swim. Gets up on the other side of the pool, and he said the alligator's nipping at him, and he makes it. And that guy runs over to him, and he said, "What's going on?" He said, "All I want to know is who pushed me in." You see, courage sometimes. Sometimes courage sometimes takes a little bit of a shove sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it does. But I'm here to tell you this morning, listen, I don't know what you're out, but to be great this morning, sometimes you may have to jump. Sometimes you might have, therefore I take pleasures in infirmities and reproach, in necessities and persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. There are times I don't feel very courageous, I know that. I mean, I just don't. I don't feel great sometimes. But in my weakness, Janice, in when I am weak, that's when he shows himself to me the most. That's when he proves himself to me more and more and more. And I am so thankful for that. Greatness will come out during the hard times. They do. If you've got greatness in you, it'll come to the top. Just like the cream rises on the milk, greatness will come to the top in hard times. Like Sean said, there's some people that when the troubles start hitting, there's some run like this, some run that way, and there's some that stand right there because they're ready for the battle. Can I tell you something this morning, Christians? We need to be the glass half full bunch. Say amen. Amen. Too many times we're the glass empty bunch. I serve a God that can do all things. I serve a God that I believe in the glass half full. I believe the glass can be totally full. No, because we are saved. Deuteronomy 10:17, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and terrible, which regardeth not persons nor taketh reward. When folks around us are saying it can't happen, we should say, let's be still and see what God can do about it. That's greatness. We can say, we can say, here, hold my milkshake. You know, the world likes to say, here, hold my beer. That's what the world likes to say. I'm here to tell you this morning, we can tell them, I serve God. Here, you hold my milkshake and you watch what he can do. Amen? Amen. Let the world have its way. Let the world say what it wants to say. We serve a big God. Who do you serve? Who do you believe will come out? I mean, really, if you think about it, we serve a God that owns all this out there. I'm going to believe him over somebody that's telling me that it can't happen. You will never be great. And this is something, young people, please listen to me. And I know older people need this too. You will never be great if you are not willing to learn. Never. You must be teachable. Proverbs 1:7 says this: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But listen to this last part. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. If you don't get nothing else out of that this morning, folks, listen to me. If you are not teachable, you will never be great. Never be great, because we all need to be taught. Say this with me, and I want you to say it with me out loud. I must be teachable, or I will never be great. You won't. You won't. And that's, if you are a know-it-all, if you're someone who does not listen to wisdom, if you argue with wisdom at all times, and if you have it your way at all times, I'm here to tell you, you will never achieve greatness. I'm not saying you should not question from time to time. We all should question. But brothers and sisters, there are people who would constantly argue with everything that is laid down. Am I right? Fools despise wisdom and instruction. You learn life lesson in two different ways, folks. That's either through a mentor or that's through life experiences. And I'm going to tell you something here this morning. It'd be a whole lot easier on you if you learn it through a mentor than it is through life experiences. And when you have folks like parents and grandparents and relatives and family and church family who have been around a lot of years, they have seen a lot of things. They've been through a lot of things. And listen, and they're trying to mentor you, and you do not want to take heed to any of it. You're no different than what the psalmist said. You are a what? A fool. You're going to learn from mistakes that could set you back years. This is a guy that's talking that can swear to it. It can set you back years. You must be teachable to be great. You will never come to a place where you stop learning. Never, ever, ever. Great Christians never stop learning. Amen? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be what? They shall be filled. Are you hungering and thirsting this morning for that? If you are not open to instructions, you're not striving for greatness. You're just not. And again, I don't want to go back to that sermon I preached a couple weeks ago about that chicken analogy, but you know what? If you're just flapping your wings like a chicken, you're not going far. You're not going to. You're not going to achieve greatness to go to soar like an eagle. You're just going to be, you're going to be right where you're at in your little coop, in your little area, where the enemy could come and get you easier. Isaiah 50, verse 4. The Lord has given me, and I want you to write that, I want you to mark this in your Bible sometime, Isaiah 54, because this is so good. The Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, and I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth me morning by morning, and this is the part you need to listen to. He wakens my ear to hear as the learned. Not only does he give us a mouth to speak, Greg, but he also gives us, the old preachers used to say, he's given you one of these and two of these. That should tell you something. We should be listening more than what we do this. He's given us ears and he wakens our ears to learn. And that's what we should be doing. You will never achieve greatness for God if you're not willing to learn. We know, don't we, guys? There's a lot of resources out there to learn by now, isn't there? There's no excuse for us. And you say, well, as the world stuff, no, there's Christian stuff out there for us to learn. If you ask God, He will help you. He will help you by being teachable. If you're a great listener, He will. That's the God that we serve. Praise the Lord. You must be able to be told that you're not doing something right. I tell you right there, that's something that I've had to battle down through the years. Because, you know, sometimes you get in your mind that you're always right. And people come to you with sincere questions and stuff. And they say, well, I don't think this is right. And if you get this attitude, this stiff-neck attitude, well, I'm this and I'm that and you're not going to tell me, you'll never learn anything. God's trying to show us. You don't do it that way. You must be able to receive correction in a good spirit. You must be able to do that. Proverbs 12:1 says this. Whosoever loves discipline loves knowledge. Did you hear that? But whosoever hates correction, and this is out of another, it says brutish, but you know what that means? It means a stupid. That's what it means. If you hate correction, it says that you're stupid. Oh man, that'd get us in trouble to say that out loud, they wouldn't it? Receiving correction is not just hearing, but is accepting what you're being taught and doing something about it if it's something to make you great for the Lord. Getting correction and walking away under your breath. Right? A lot of people may say that to your face, but brothers and sisters in their back of their minds, that's what they're doing. Because you're not going to tell me what to do. You're not going to say this. I'm not going to do this. I heard a preacher here a while back. He's got a big church. I see him on television every once in a while. He said that he had a young man in his church that was outstanding singer. He said he was the best singer he had on his staff. And he's got some excellent singers, I'm telling you. If you listen to his sermons every week. But he said this. He said that boy got to the point where he thought that if he didn't sing, he was going to sit around and pout all the time. And he was going to sit and do this and going to sit and do that. He said, I called him to the side and I said, listen, I said, you're not going to sing no more until you get that spirit out of you. Yeah. And he said, it was over a year and he finally come back around. But see, we sometimes don't want to listen to instruction when God is trying to show us. You know, everybody, we got this mentality today where everybody gets a trophy. Everybody gets a participation trophy. That's not the way it is, brothers and sisters. That's not the way it is. Getting correction and walking away, mumbling under your breath, is not going to make you great. Everybody needs correction at times in their lives. That includes this preacher. Everybody does. Everyone. As human beings, we don't like it. It hurts our feelings. But guess what? The Bible addresses that over in Hebrews 12:11. It says this, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful later on. However, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been what? Trained by it. You may not like discipline right now, but if you will take it the way God intended it for you, I'm here to tell you, it will produce greatness in your life. Praise God this morning. You know how it comes, someone that gives you advice and correction, and they get with their friends. This is how it goes. Oh, I go to somebody and you say, listen, you know, I believe we could do this a little different. They go, they get with their friends, and of course they have their powwow, and before you know, it's through the whole church that the preacher has put somebody down. And that's not what it's about. Oh, it says, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And is that not the truth, folks? We do not realize, can I tell you this? We do not realize how many people are struggling today in churches across this country because, listen to me, nobody, they didn't want correction, they didn't accept correction, and they weren't going to have correction put in their life. That's why. They would not heed to it. Do you not realize, folks, how many people are in prison or in the graveyards today? Because you know why? Because they would not heed correction. They would not accept correction. They would not. They were going to have it their way no matter what. That's how serious it is. They would not heed to it. How many Christians, how many churches, how many preachers how many ministries, how many singers, how many teachers have been torn down because they would not accept correction in the right way. They've been torn down. There have been churches torn apart because someone, you're not going to tell them what they're going to do. If you cannot receive correction, God will never trust you with greatness. He never will. Improper motivation, your own agenda, whatever you may have going on. I know this is kind of hard this morning, and just bear with me on this morning, but I had all last Sunday, all this week, to sit around and think of a sermon. And this is what God has given me. And I'm going to tell you something this morning, brother. It was hard on me just as much as it is on you. But listen, we do not, you know, if your motivation's not great, if you have your own agenda, you're not going to reach the pertaining greatness in your life. You never will. In 1 Corinthians 12:4, for the body is not one member, it says, but it says it's many. We are all in this thing together here this morning. We're all in here this morning. And to achieve greatness for the church, every one of us has to be great. Myself or anyone else thinks we're above correction, we are dead wrong. If myself or anyone else thinks that we cannot be corrected, we're dead wrong. If you won't, if correction, I know this too. Too many people have got this analogy of, I'm just going to take my ball and I'm going to go home. I hope you bounce it against the wall grate. You got thoughts, if that's your idea of being a church member or being somebody in the church, you know what? Take your ball and go home. Because we are here to achieve something together. Amen? You won't. You could not be small and great at the same time. You cannot be petty and great at the same time either. It says, I'm going to tell you something else too that we need to do for greatness, that we need to treat others right. Luke 6:31, as he would that men should do to you, do ye also likewise to them. Romans 12:10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. You know what that means? It means outdoing one another. I like that. Whenever I get into that translation of that, that is so awesome. It says, whenever it talks about that, it says, you know, preferring one another. Sean, it's meaning let's outdo one another in love. Let's outdo one another in things of in greatness for the Lord. That's what it's wanting us to do. To be great, we have to treat others right. Greatness is who you are when no one is watching you. You agree with me on that? Greatness takes part whenever I'm at my house by myself just as much as it is right here in front of this church. Greatness is when you're not in front of mom and dad. Greatness is when you're someplace else and you still living your life that's righteous and living a life for the Lord. That is greatness. Greatness is how you act no matter who you're around or no matter who you're with. I had a preacher friend years ago that no matter who he was around, that's how he acted. No matter who he's with, that's what he believed. And I got to thinking, man alive, I said, how do you get that out of all this? We're supposed to be steadfast. Steadfast. Greatness comes out whenever you're not around everybody else. Christian greatness will be great no matter who you're with or no matter what you're doing. Amen? Amen. Greatness is not big-headed. It's not vengeful. I thought about this. I remember David, whenever the story you always tell about Mephibosheth. Say the word for me, please. Yep. Whenever David, Saul was out to kill him. And David could have just had his whole family killed if he'd wanted to. But David didn't do it. David wasn't vengeful. That's why I believe God said David was a man after God's own heart. And we all know the story of Joseph. He could have had nothing to do with his family. But you know what? It didn't end up that way. Greatness is not vengeful. Brothers, people are going to do stuff to us in this life that is not fair. Say, come get us all. They're going to do stuff in this life that is not fair. But can I tell you something, right? For Christianity, greatness in us is where we take whenever they do us wrong. Brothers and sisters, that's whenever we treat them right. That's hard. But that's what God wants us to do. That's what Jesus said to do.